shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results match the effort.
Hey, everybody, good afternoon. Welcome to the Shrimp Tank, brought to us by every week here on Atlanta Business Radio X. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, where every week on the Shrimp Tank, we bring you some of the brightest and best entrepreneurs all around the state of Georgia. And we bring you some of the up-and-coming kids that have great ideas, and they pitch on the Shrimp Tank. They talk to us about these ideas. We ultimately figure out whether or not their business ideas can swim or they will sink on the Shrimp Tank. Chris Hanks, what's going on this afternoon?
You know, I'm still recovering from your wake today because Ted actually taught my class today, which was awesome. You had them completely engaged. It was incredible. So it was very, very good. I appreciate you doing that.
And I used no profanity for the entire class.
I was very close
a couple of times.
Yeah. Although the word nudie video did come up. I do remember that, or yes. Words. I do remember with that reference.
Paris Hilton nudie video. I probably should not have talked about that today.
But it was awesome. So yeah, they got a ton out of it. So I appreciate that.
Well, I'll say for me that, you know, as much as I'm unpolitically correct, that was as politically correct as I could get for teaching a class. So hopefully the kids won't go home and say, Mom, Dad, we met a very, very awful man in class today.
Now, you're a natural. You mentioned your mother was a fifth grade teacher.
Yes, she was.
Yeah.
Yes, she was. It was really, really good stuff. So tell us what's going on today. Before we bring our guest on today, we've got Jim Hall, who's the CEO of Triotech today. We're looking forward to a great dialogue with him today. We've also got Stephanie on. Now, I'm going to pronounce her last name at some point during the show. I'm just not going to do it in the opening. When I give myself a chance to fail, I'd rather fail in the middle of the show than fail in the beginning of the show. So what's going on right now with the top 100 and what's happening? So exciting that these kids are pitching their ideas, and ultimately it sounds like they're going to compete for a lot of money.
They are. So we started off with 100. We are down to our final 10, and Stephanie is one of them. So I see the
nervousness.
Thank you.
So yeah, she and her sister, which is awesome. So both of them, sister versus sister, in the top 10, which is pretty amazing. Out of all the students at KSU, that we have two sisters in the final 10 competing against each other. But we have 10, and then after tomorrow night, there will be only 3.
And what's the idea that you're pitching? Say it's called Beast Nation.
Yes. Do you want me to say that?
Yeah, I'm just curious what it's about.
Okay, so my sisters and I, we started a business when we were 6, 7, and 8 years old, a chocolate company. So we were selling door by door. And then when we were doing this, we realized that a lot of kids, they have like great opportunities. They had great ideas. They had goals. They had dreams. But they don't know how to turn those into a reality. So we say we need to do what we are doing. We need to teach it to other people. So we created the first entrepreneurial program for kids like us. So what makes us different is like, we don't have like the business plan, target market and everything like really hard, but like an easy, friendly way to teach other people like the whole entrepreneurial life and the whole entrepreneurial world. Because we understood that in the next 20 years, like the 28 people, they're gonna peak. So this could be a threat or this could be a great opportunity.
You know, Hanks, yeah. I would kill for that accent.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Right? I would kill for it. Yeah. It would make us a much better broadcaster.
It would. And, you know, and it's really impressive when you see some of Stephanie's videos. She's been on CNN. Her and her sisters do these phenomenal speaking events in Colombia that you see just, I don't know how many people. I mean, it just looks like thousands in the audience when you guys are up there on stage doing your thing. I've seen some of the videos. I don't understand any of them because they are in Spanish, but it's amazing to see how successful and popular you guys are in Colombia.
Thank you. Yes. Like we have been doing this since we are 7, 8, and 9 years old.
Wow. Well, this is pretty exciting stuff. And so when it gets down to the top 10 here at KSU, How will this work for the winners? How does it work over the next couple of weeks?
So we get down to three, and then the final three will begin to prepare. And on April 27th, from 5 to 6 p.m., there will be our final round, and that will be a very public event. We will have a lot of very seasoned entrepreneurs and a lot of folks from all over KSU coming to witness in the auditorium the final round. We also have a popular vote that we're going to, a fan favorite, and whoever wins the fight, the winner of KSU Top 100, we've been promoting the $100,000. They get $5,000 in cash and the balance in equity and services, and a popular vote of $500 for the crowd favorite at the event April 27th.
Well, I know in the initial thing that I saw as a judge, there was really some fabulous ideas. The kids came in with tremendous ideas, anywhere from this sort of paracord, I guess, to carry your skateboard around campus or anywhere that you can, to Stephanie's ideas. And I'm getting the fortune to work with Franklin at the program, it's hard for entrepreneurs. We're going to talk about this. I'm going to talk about this with Jim a little bit, but you know, taking abstract ideas or taking ideas like that and getting a very quick pitch across about a complex business is not easy.
It's very, very challenging. A lot of people think it's about the idea, but it's really about the business that brings forth the idea. And that transition for a lot of young people, that's a real struggle. They think, hey, I've got this idea. All I need is just to hire somebody to go do it. Well, you know, it's not about the idea. You got to create a business that brings forth the idea. And that's a very, very different approach.
Well, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank here on Business Radio X. We come to you live every week from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. on Tuesday. You can catch a replay not only of this broadcast, but all of our broadcasts on shrimptankpodcast.com. We've interviewed some unbelievable business owners during the course of this year that have, businesses from like the number one real estate agent in the state of Georgia, somebody that came here from Cuba and basically built a multi-million dollar fence business. And last week we had on the soup cleansing business, right? You heard of juice cleanse and other types of cleanses like that, but this was a soup cleanse. I can assure you with 5 minutes with Tammy, you will want to take the soup cleanse. So it will probably happen. That being said, we've got a great guest on this week. We've got Jim Hall, who's the CEO of Triotech. I noticed from reading a little bit about the bio that you were 2014 Business Person of the Year. That's what it sounded like here by the Metro Atlanta Chamber of Commerce. Also was named a Small Business Rockstar. And it sounds like in this business of airflow controls, which you're going to have to explain to us because I really don't know what that is outside of turning up and down my heat and AC and making it work in the car. But you took over this business and led an investment group in 2008 to start what sounds to be an incredibly successful business. So I'm curious to start in here to understand a little bit more about what Triotech is, what the business is, how y'all came up with the idea, and how y'all make a living doing it.
Sure. Well, first off, thanks for having me here. It's an honor. This is a great program and happy to be part of it today. So Triotech is a company that makes systems that controls the directional flow of air in critical room environments. So we basically answer the question, what happens when the door opens in a hospital isolation room? If you can picture a patient who has an infectious disease, when the door opens to their room, the air can only flow into that room. Otherwise, it's not an isolation room. So it's one of those types of technologies that's not really thought about until something goes wrong. But it's critical and it's important. So we work in isolation rooms and operating rooms. The other principal area for our technology are in laboratories. If you think about a chemistry lab with a fume hood, you put your experiment in there and close that sash. When you open the sash, it's important that the fumes go away from the operator for safety. So we don't make the fume hoods, but we control the environment in the fume hood and also in the room.
Is this true today also? I know our good friend Lee Heisman, owner of Savant. There are these rooms today that apparently have all these computers that for storage and big companies like Rackspace Hosting that are out there. Is the air quality or airflow control important for those kinds of rooms? I suspect that they've got to stay cool.
Absolutely. And that's an important application for what we do. Speed is the primary indicator for us. So there's more cost-effective ways to control those types of environments. We operate in areas where speed of response is critical. And so we are actually more expensive than what they would want to use in those types of environments, but they're critical. And so hospitals typically and laboratories are our main applications.
Jim, I had the privilege of meeting you during the Business Person of the Year Awards, because I served as a judge, and I was so impressed by so many things. One of them is I've never met somebody who bought a company that was Chapter 7 bankruptcy. And I thought, I've heard of Chapter 11, but not Chapter 7. And that's how your journey with Triotech started. So I was hoping you could sort of elaborate on that.
That's right. And I think from a vantage point of being an entrepreneur, there's a lot of different ways you can go about the business. One of which is you create your idea and you build a business. My opportunity came around a little bit differently. Triotech had been around for 30 years, and the previous management had made some mistakes in their business, and that led to a bankruptcy. The difference between Chapter 11 and Chapter 7 is pretty straightforward. Chapter 11 is an opportunity to get a timeout from creditors, reorganize, and reemerge. And the business, Triotech, went through that process initially. However, they failed at that, and the case was converted from a Chapter 11 to a Chapter 7, which by definition is yellow tape the building, padlock the doors, you auction off the assets, pay off the creditors as best you can, and proceed. We got involved with the business while it was in Chapter 11 and recognized that it had great products, had fantastic people, and there was a marketplace that needed Triotech to survive. If we could put a business plan together that made sense, we could rescue the business. During that process is when the case was converted to a Chapter 7. Our offer was conditional on the business continuing to operate. So we actually went back to the court and got a unique, almost unprecedented approval by the court to allow the business to operate while it was in Chapter 7 for a period of about 4 months. It took that long for the case to actually get to the auction. We arrived in court not really knowing what was going to happen. There were other people that arrived. We had a bidding back and forth. We were the successful bidder that day. We closed on the purchase of the assets the following day and then opened up as a brand new business with new management. Hired back all the people, and really the business has taken off since then.
So what's the difference in going into a business? You know, when a lot of entrepreneurs start their business, they have their dream, they have their idea, they start to grow their culture. When you take over a company that's been 30 years old, and especially one that's gone into Chapter 7, how do you go about taking the old employees in the business and reestablishing the new culture, for an old company? You know, it's not a new company, it's the same company, but we have new management.
That was a key part of it. Clearly, the culture of the company had been stifled while I was in this period. And it was really a situation where you had a lot of wonderful people who were hamstrung. It was a tough place to work because you didn't know if you're going to get paid. You didn't know if you could get access to raw materials. Customers were upset because of deliveries. And really, it was an opportunity to sit down with everybody. And I think about it like when we finished the deal and we got back into the conference room, it was almost like the clouds parted and light shone down on the coffee room table there. And I said, well, what do you guys think we should do? And that was probably the best thing because the employees really had great ideas that they were not able to execute due to whatever constraints were put on the company by the previous management. So I had a plan that I put together, and we then added in all the ideas that the employees had. And the first thing you realize is that no plan survives its collision with reality.
Right.
And so things change very rapidly. And I learned very quickly that if you have good people, if you have the right people on the bus and you put them in the right seats, my job was then to provide the direction and the strategy and allow the execution to the people who did it best. And once people felt that they were able to do that, it's almost like the gears in the business start coming together and meshing. And you can just feel and see the acceleration of the ideas as things really start to happen in a positive direction. In a lot of ways, it was addition by subtraction, removing the problem out of the equation. Everything got stronger. And now it's a matter of just making sure the bus is in the right direction.
So, you know, having been involved in the Business Person of the Year Awards for a while, you know, I get to meet a lot of great entrepreneurs through that and other things like with the KSU Entrepreneurship Center. But to go from Chapter 7 to Business Person of the Year, I mean, what's the biggest thing you've learned through that journey that you can offer to some of the younger or the aspiring entrepreneurs that might be listening to this? What piece of advice or wisdom through that journey could you sort of share?
I think there's an inflection point for entrepreneurs that's a critical component to a business succeeding. It's when you've got a great idea and you've built a business and you get to a point where you're doing a lot of that work, in order for that business to grow, you've got to learn to let other people do the work. And you've got to be the one that's providing the direction. I see a lot of entrepreneurs that get into that constraint where they feel like they can't delegate or they can't allow other people in the business to do the things that they feel they did best. And I really think that's what hamstrung Triatech previously. Coming into this business, I was almost the exact opposite. I brought a fresh set of eyes, fresh different ideas, and really pushed the employees to participate in the process. And that's what made the business stronger. I really believe that's what had a lot to do with why Triatech entered into the bankruptcy and why a lot of entrepreneurs get to that point where the business has grown through their hard work and sweat and ideas. For it to actually be able to grow into a successful business, they've got to learn to delegate and allow other people to do the things that they've done previous to that.
Hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank here on Business Radio X. We're going to take a quick break for our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to go through our hot or not round. We're going to find out one thing that surely every employee knows at Triatech. Now, Jim doesn't even know what I'm going to ask, but surely every employee knows at Triatech. We're going to be back with Stephanie and Jim right after a break from our sponsors.
In business, it's either time or money. How much money does your business lose if your network is down for a day? How much time do your employees waste trying to fix computer issues? At Savant, we have the experts that work on your network to simply make your company run more efficiently. Macs, PCs, mobile solutions, no problem. Savant's battery life never ends. Call 770-438-6240 now.
Hey, welcome back to The Shrimp Tank. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, and here with my co-host, who's the executive director and founder at the KSU Center for Entrepreneurship, Chris Hanks. We're sitting here with one of our budding, bright young entrepreneurs, Stephanie Carvajalino. I know I said that right. Who is in the top 10 and down to the top 10 for the winners of the KSU 100, which really exciting stuff going on with entrepreneurs. And we're sitting here with one of our CEOs, Jim Hall, CEO of Triatech. I learned more about Airflow in the last 9 minutes than I knew in the last 9 years. Truly unbelievable. Who knew there was a business for controlling air that would go in and out of like operating rooms and things like that, and amazing, amazing stuff. And every week, what we like to bring you here, you can always hear a replay of the podcast on shrimptankpodcast.com. The really cool news in the next few weeks, we launch one of our new satellite programs that's coming up, and many, many more around the country as we grow and foster entrepreneurship. Because just remember, people, the fact is that still 70 to 80% of the jobs here in America, they're not created by large corporations. In fact, if anything, the large corporations are downsizing. It's the entrepreneur, the one that's out there that saddles the debt on their back, that goes to work for 80 hours a week, is the one that builds the jobs for the future of America. And so we're excited every week to grow and foster entrepreneurship here in the state of Georgia. I know KSU is a leader in what's happening here in the state of Georgia. So every week we try and bring you our segment, Hot or Not. This is where we like to ask our entrepreneurs some questions. And Stephanie, feel free, if you have a question on your head to ask, you can do it as well to Jim here today. But I guess our first hot or not question I want to ask today is, do you believe that you should have a business plan? Is that hot or is it not?
If you don't, you will fail.
I like that. Why do you say that?
A failure to plan is a plan to fail. It's the key, I think, to Triatech's turnaround was I did have a detailed plan, but it's not just enough to have that plan. You've got to measure your results against that plan and then make adjustments. Sometimes things are going exactly the way you want it to be, but that's pretty rare. Usually, most things are going either above or below your plan. And you've got to be able to make sound business judgments on the direction of your company. And the only way to do that is to have that plan being made, measure your results against the plan, and adjust. I've met a lot of entrepreneurs who shy away from that because they feel they're too busy. But there's nothing more important than making sure you've got that plan, that it's on paper, it's in your computer system, you've thought it out, and that you're visiting it on at least a monthly basis, if not weekly, and measuring your results against that plan.
Well, people that are at home, you can appreciate the fact that when you take a long road trip with your children and they're sitting in the back of the car, invariably at some point they ask you this question: how far away are we? When are we going to get there? Right? And if you tell your employees, it's a lot like your kids. It's like, well, we'll get there when we get there. Eventually they start to lose interest, right? But if you tell them, well, it's going to be an hour and a half, they probably will, they won't understand it anyway. No, I don't, what's an hour and a half? How long is it going to take us? But at least they have a finite time frame that they know things are going to happen. Without benchmarking, a lot of times I've found that employees can get lost. You know, if you tell them, well, we'll get there when we can get there, people will buy in for a little while, but not forever. So I like that. I like that answer. It's hot to have a business plan.
Yeah, and if you're not keeping score, it doesn't matter, right? And what Jim said reminded me of that quote. You know, planning is the Olympics of thinking, and thinking is hard. That's why so few people do it. So I'm going to do something unprecedented in our Hot or Not segment.
This
is completely unprecedented. I'm going to defer my Hot or Not question because Stephanie and I were talking right before the show started, and she came up with a very good Hot or Not question that I was very impressed by, that I thought I should defer my question to hers. So feel free to ask away.
Okay, but I have to, because I was listening here and I was like, I need to do another question. But the first one, I have to, but they're short. The first one, it's like since we are like young entrepreneurs, this is what everyone say. Like, do you think entrepreneurs are born or made?
That's an interesting question.
Stephanie, where do you go to school?
Kennesaw.
There we go.
I'm thinking hard about it. You're the first question here today that made me really stop for a couple of seconds.
Wow, look at that, see?
Yeah.
I think it's a combination of both, and that's going to sound like a strange answer. I think there's a lot of folks out there who have a natural tendency to want to be an entrepreneur, but that's not enough. You've got to have mentors. You've got to have people that you can go to. When you're the only person running a business, it's often very difficult. And so you've got to put some work into that. And that includes opportunities like what you're doing, exposing yourself to other successful people, learning from folks like Professor Hanks. So you can have a tendency towards it, but if you aren't willing to put the work in, you're going to end up meeting people like me buying you at an auction. On the other hand, someone like myself, I've certainly had a kind of a bend towards being a salesperson, but I've realized for myself, I'm not an idea guy. I'm not the person that's going to come up with a great idea like what you've done. But what I do have the ability to do is look at a business and put a plan to make it successful. And so my path to entrepreneurship was probably more from making it versus creating it. To be honest with you, I barely understand how our technology works. And I'm not the idea guy in our business, but I am the one that puts a strategy together and makes sure that we're executing that strategy. So I'd have to say it's a combination of a little bit of both. One without the other isn't enough.
You got a second one? You got a follow-up for that?
Oh,
you
didn't.
All right, we'll do it.
Wow.
So fire away, Stephanie. Segment. I love this. So yeah,
I love it.
So you were saying that you bought a company and then it was in bankruptcy and then you take it to a successful company. So whenever someone thinks about a bankrupt company, you say, okay, I buy a company and then I fire everyone and I start something new. Like what you did to make it a great company with the same people that turned them into a bankruptcy.
So I spent better part of about 8 months studying the business from February through October of 2008. We were involved in it. And the first thing we realized, you know, was what the marketplace opportunity was. And there's sort of a sequence you can go through as you investigate a company and try to understand it. And a key part of that in any company that's acquiring another company is you do take a really hard look at the people in the business. Businesses really are nothing without people. And the key to this business really was unlocking the potential of the individuals who were working there. Without them coming on board, the business had no chance for success. As you heard me say earlier, I really don't have an expertise level in our technology. We've got a core group of brilliant engineers who do. So a key part of this whole thing was painting a vision and even asking the employees who were there at the time, like, why do you stay? You don't know every day if you're going to get paid. You have a hard time meeting your customers' requirements. Your suppliers are upset with you, but you're here. You're here for some reason. What is that? And kind of understanding what drove them and why they were involved in that business had a lot to do with why we decided to buy it. So I would tell you that if I was to rank all the reasons why we purchased TriAttack, the people who were involved with the business and what I saw in their abilities, were probably the number one reason why we bought it.
That almost sounded like an excerpt from the Shackleton files. You know, when Shackleton was making his voyage, he had some ad that he took out of the time that basically said, cold weather, low pay, safe return, doubtful. Would you sign up for that? And so it sounds like one of those things. It's like, why do you work? You know, low, if the pay is this and you got customers that are difficult. But it's interesting to hear about the whole born or made when it comes to being entrepreneurs, because a lot of entrepreneurs are, they you're right, they do have some unique skills that are born into them. But at the same token, you get made by the pain of the toll road of being an entrepreneur. You know, every entrepreneur that has a plan, it gets derailed. You know, you run into something legally, financially, employee-wise, business model-wise, regulatory-wise. Everyone thinks it's going to be an easy path, but you're always somewhere you're going to get hit down. Now, Stephanie, I have a hot or not for you in the hot or not segment.
Wow.
Which is it a good idea to work with family members in your business?
That's a good question. I mean, it depends. First, I thought it was going to be really hard because everyone said, like, it's really hard, because it's true. Like, you have all the family problems. For example, I can be fighting with my sisters outside of the business, but then you cannot transmit that to the business. So in my case, it was different, and it was really good because I could be fighting with my sisters because she used my clothes or used my toys. But then since we have to go into the business part, we have to talk to each other. And then when we start talking to each other, we forget what we were fighting about. So it was really good in my case.
And so here's the one question I had at the tease of the break, because I wouldn't leave you without this, because I said, well, what's something that every employee at Tri-Tech would know on there? So is it a good idea to pay bonuses to employees? You know, now that you've got a company, employees, there's a good idea to pay bonuses to them.
I think it is. And I think bonuses are beneficial if they're used properly. Part of my job, and we actually have our annual company meeting this Friday. We recap everything about the previous year and our direction where we're going forward. And so we align our bonuses with the individual objectives of our employees that then align with what our company strategy is.
Hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank here on Atlanta Business Radio X. I'm sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks. I'm Ted Jenkins, your co-host. We're going to take a break from our sponsors in just a minute, but I want to tell you when we come back, both Jim and Stephanie will be on the Plead the Fifth channel. That's right. We're going to be asking them very, very, very difficult questions here, and you only get a chance to plead the fifth once. So you must choose wisely after we get back from a break and a quick word from our sponsors.
Does it seem like the more money you make, the more money seems to slip through your fingers? Why is that? You make six figures, but you seem to have six figures worth of bills. Now is the time to get a plan. Set up a time today to start your 21-day budget cleanse. Go to OxygenFinancial.net to secure a complimentary meeting now. Go to OxygenFinancial.net and get started today. Securities offered through Kesha Investment Services, members FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, an affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Oxygen is not affiliated with Kestra.
Hey, welcome back to The Shrimp Tank here, brought to you live every week on Atlanta Business Radio X from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. on Tuesday afternoons. You can always hear a replay. If you just turn this on right in the middle and you want to hear a replay of the entire broadcast that we had today, go to shrimptankpodcast.com. We've got well over a dozen shows on there now with some unbelievable CEOs in the state of Georgia. We've also had on a ton of kids right now from KSU and sharing their ideas. I remember a few weeks ago we had on Spacey Sciences, which still sticks in my mind as an unbelievable, who builds satellites and things like that. But it was just great stuff. So you really need to check it out. And more importantly, on the shrimptankpodcast.com website, we've got unbelievable entrepreneur articles that you can read. And this is all about helping to become better at an entrepreneur. That's why we talk to the successful people and the ones that are growing. And we're sitting here with Jim Hall today, who's the CEO of Tri-Tech. And we're getting into that juncture of the show where we start to go through our plead the fifth round. These are the tough questions. These are the ones that all CEOs and business owners need to be asked. And it's all the information that you want to hear. So I'm going to let my co-host here, Professor Hanks, kick this one off.
All right. Jim, what is your biggest regret as a business owner?
Biggest regret, I'm going to try and save my use of pleading the fifth. I'm sure there's others that are going to be even tougher than this one. It's a challenge as a business owner. You make a lot of decisions every day and you hope that they work out right. Most of the time they do. So there's always small regrets as you go along. I think for me, I got to the point in life where it made sense for me to become a business owner, having worked in larger companies. But there's a big part of me that wishes I had started as a business owner earlier.
So here's my next plead the fifth question in here is that when you took over the company coming out of Chapter 7, did you ever come close to missing payroll?
I've always talked with people about understanding cash flow in a business, that you don't really understand how cash flow works until you scratch and claw to make payroll.
That's right.
That's when it becomes very clear to you. I didn't take a paycheck for 6 months after I bought the company. So that was a big part of it while we got the ship righted. But no, we've never come close. That was by design. I had intended to do that as a way to get the business started. So we've never, unfortunately, knock on wood, since 2008, we've never missed payroll. We've never been late, and don't plan on it.
Now, I've got one for Stephanie here.
All right.
We got to do this in the plea of the fifth round. So knowing that you're an entrepreneur and going to be an entrepreneur, do you think it would be a good idea to marry an entrepreneur?
Yes. Yeah, my dad always told me that if you're going to marry someone, he have to be better than you, so you push harder to be better than him instead of carrying someone. So yes.
So, okay. If you had to identify the person that you would marry, who is that person? I was trying really hard to make you plead the fifth on that one. And can you give us their name and address?
No. No, I don't know.
All right. So Jim, if I was going to start a company that competed against yours, what's the thing I would have to do to take you out?
You'd have to innovate faster than we do. And that's not easy. We've really focused on developing and continue to introduce new products into this marketplace. Triotech's been around for 30 years. Our competitors have been around for the same. For years, there wasn't a whole lot of innovation, which is one of the reasons why we decided to enter into this marketplace. So we've launched more new products in the last few years than our competitors combined. So if you were foolish enough to do that, you would have to innovate faster than we do.
So here's a plea the fifth. You know, many people over the years have heard of sort of the Jack Welch way of leadership and basically collapsing on the bottom 10% of the company. Is it a good idea for entrepreneurs every year to really fire their weakest links? I mean, I've been thinking about this one personally. So is it a good idea? Is it a good idea to fire the weakest links?
I don't think it's something that I would consider as a formal policy. I wouldn't limit it to just the weakest links. If you've got people that are not performing because of their attitude or let's call it their commitment or their competence, you look at it on those two matrices. If someone has a lot of commitment, but they're low on competence, you can work with that person.
Right.
You can train them. You could have people that are very competent, have low levels of commitment, and those people probably need to go. Either they change their level of commitment or come on board. So I wouldn't be waiting to fire people that didn't fit into the culture or fit into having a high level of commitment and a high level of competence. We working to fix one or both of those. And if we can't, then it's time for them to go.
Yeah. Well, this is not a plea the fifth, but since we've been going off script, I want to keep or off the playbook. You taught me a phrase that you use with your employees and I've been implementing it since. What is that phrase that you tend to sort of ask your employees to get them to show more initiative and more problem solving on their end?
The phrase is, what do you recommend? And it's something that I was taught early in my life by a couple of mentors that I had. The context of that is as a CEO or anybody who's leading any organization, you oftentimes have the people in your organization bring problems into your office. And the analogy is a monkey on their back. And the first thing they want to do is get the monkey off their back if it means putting it on yours, because then it's your problem to solve. Particularly coming out of the situation Triotech was in, there was a lot of problems to solve. And it's very easy for you to take them all on yourself. But what I found was people who come into my office with a problem, if I would ask them, what do you recommend? Several things would happen. One, I'd get better ideas. Two, the problem and the monkey went right back on their back. And three, very quickly, people start to learn, to realize, and come into your office with a problem and the recommendation, so they don't have to listen to that question anymore. And now your matter, now your question really becomes, are you approving their suggestion? Are you challenging it or refining it and making it better? When you do that as a business owner or a leader of any organization, you get better results, you get better ideas, and you don't get the problems on your back.
See, I love that.
So for folks that listen to the show today, these are some great answers. And like I said, you should always go to shrimptagpodcast.com to hear a replay of this entire broadcast. These are the kinds of advice that you want to get as a young entrepreneur. Or even if you're a seasoned entrepreneur, we can always learn more about getting our business to grow faster, quicker, smarter for us. So how can somebody that wants to learn more about Triotech and the services that you offer, how can they find out more about your firm?
Our website is triotech.com. You're welcome to go there and learn about our products and services. If you'd like more information, feel free to give us a call at 770-242-1922.
And Stephanie, is there a place that people can learn more about your upcoming business, the business that you're growing?
Yes, we have our website. It's parentsandcoaches.com.
Parentsandcoaches.com.
Yes.
You got that off of GoDaddy. That was good. No, you're able to secure that website?
Yes.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like an easy website to be able to get. Well, good luck in the competition.
Absolutely. And Stephanie, where can I buy your book?
There.
You can buy your book right there on Parents and Coaches. Yes. In Spanish or English?
Both.
All right.
In Spanish and English, yes.
How about that? Well, we're very excited. Thanks for coming on the show today. Next week, we're going to be having a guest on. His name is Wes Jones. I don't know if you've ever tasted the best gelato in the city. Arguably, I will say. Honeysuckle Gelato. And so we're going to hear about what it's like to be in that business. It's not an easy business to get into, right? But we've seen companies in Atlanta like the King of Pops explode here and do unbelievable selling this kind of stuff.
Those are cool businesses, Ted.
Yeah, I like that.
You like that?
Huh?
Thank you.
That's good stuff.
All right. What a great way to drop the mic and we're done. That's awesome.
We appreciate you listening this week. We'll look forward to hearing from us next week on 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here every week on Atlanta Business Radio X, where we bring you the Shrimp Tank.
I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When I take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When I take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.